Books of the Bible. Haggai was a prophet around the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. When the efforts to rebuild the temple had stopped, Haggai encouraged the people to continue and reminded them of God's presence among them and the importance of assembling together to worship. When you consider your priorities, give careful attention to the worship of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ruh-roh, this does not bode well for the planet. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've read some statistics somewhere in your news feed that the birth rate, it is plummeting. We are, I think, historically low levels of replacing ourselves in the West. And in America, it ain't looking bright. Even CBS News discovered this trend. You know, a blind knife finds a squirrel in the drawer twice a day. CBS News doing a lengthy, it's Eye on America. So this is kind of their longer piece, where they focused on young people who choose to not have babies. It's not that they can't have babies. They don't want to have babies. This should break our hearts. And we should be aware of this as Christians, not because we simply want the kids to be doing what we've always been doing, but because we want what is really good for them, what is profound for them. Shout out, this isn't necessary. This isn't to elevate marriage over being single. The Bible just doesn't do that. But the Bible does say that marriage is the norm. Marriage is what most people do. This is not to diminish being single. You can't currently find a spouse. Your heart longs for that. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. The Bible says that there's advantages to both. But marriage is what most people do for a lot of reasons. Drive, desires, companionship, making babies. For Christians, it should be to paint a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we play our roles of the bride of Christ and Jesus Christ, so where the wife plays the role of the church, the man plays the role of Jesus Christ, so that the world can see the gospel in full display. Those are all of the beautiful parts about marriage, but apparently we have not been speaking about it loudly enough because the internet has persuaded young people, don't do it, don't get married, and don't make babies.
As the oldest of the baby boomers, including President Trump, turn 80 next year.
Why was that thrown in there? What kind of little poke with whatever?
And the youngest become eligible for Social Security. He is pushing for a second baby boom. With the U.S. birth rate declining, Mr. Trump is considering incentives for having kids, including a $5,000 bonus.
But by the way, I haven't read all of the details on that, but my understanding is that $5,000 bonus goes to the mother. I don't think that's a good way to do it. I think it should go to the parents. Why? Because you don't just want to have a bunch of Elon Musks out there, if you know what I'm saying. We don't want single mothers. We want married mothers. So I think if the government is going to get involved and incentivize making babies, not sure that's their biblical mandate, but if they're going to do it, promote marriage too. We don't need more single moms. We don't need single. What we want are married couples. And please note, if you happen to be a single mom, single dad, again, I'm not disparaging you. You know how hard it is. You know the struggles. And you feel the heartache that your child doesn't have somebody the opposite gender inside of the home. You know that. So I'm not trying to trash you. But I am saying that we should be encouraging not just making babies, but getting married and making babies.
For many young couples, there is no amount of money. Nikki Batiste has tonight's Eye on America from just west of Mar-a-Lago.
Okay.
You were everything that...
Tiana and PJ Morales said their I do's 7 years ago.
I'm super excited to take the next step in our life.
As newlyweds, they traveled the world, and before too long, they say, family would ask if they plan to have children.
Now, please note, you're going to trigger your kids if you ask questions like this.
But the Florida couple says they're not having kids. Not now, not ever.
When you have told people you're child-free, what have the reactions been?
Why?
Yeah, I'll get typically a blank stare or, oh, really?
Well, that's because we know that making babies is a good thing. This isn't about imposing a generational preference on the next generation. Having babies is amazing. Being in a family, even when they function all wobbly because, well, they can and they do, it's so profound. It's so much deeper. Even Elon Musk got that. Now, he's making babies with pretty much any woman he seems to meet, but he gets it, that having a baby is a profound thing. So if you happen to be younger, and let's just say that you're married, but you're currently not able to have children, when older people ask, it's really not to interrogate. It's not to make you feel bad. It really isn't. It isn't motivated by something that's mean. Just want to know, because that's kind of the natural thing to do.
Like pity?
Yeah, pity. Like you don't want a mini you running around?
See that, and they're smiling about it. Having a mini you running around is amazing.
Tiana, now 37, says when she was younger, she assumed she'd be a mom. But after spending her early 20s as a nanny, caring for four kids at once, that assumption changed.
It just dawned on me, is this what I would want to do every single day?
If it were your kids, you betcha. You betcha. Unless, of course, you've got a sour attitude. I know the tasks are rather mundane. The dirty diapers, the sippy cups. I get that. It's an image bearer of God that you produced with the person that you're in a lifelong covenantal relationship with. Whoa. Can I understand how she might be like, "Whoa, I wouldn't want to be doing that." Well, that's because they're not your kids. When they're your kids, that is the game changer.
The U.S. fertility rate has plummeted in the last two decades and now sits near record lows, according to CDC data released last week.
Like 1.5? Yikes.
Some young adults say high costs are holding them back. Others fear climate change.
Hold on. High costs. I understand that is a consideration. I do. But I don't think that should put you in the mindset of we could never have babies. No doubt that, I mean, if history is any sort of instructor on the issue of economy, it'll get better. It should get better. But even if it doesn't, the goal should be, the desire should be, we're going to have to figure out a way to make it work by having children. In fact, by the way, Jimmy, I was thinking, remember last week, the woman who went viral on the TikTok video machine thing.
Yes.
She was lamenting. She's married to an amazing man. He's an amazing husband. He's an amazing guy on paper. But he didn't do the dishes. He didn't empty the trash. So I wanted to divorce him. The distribution, her lament was the distribution of duties. And I think we talked about this a bit, but I think it warrants a little bit more attention because I think she kind of agitated most people, but I do think her observation was correct based on the culture that we have built for her. Now, I'm not saying that you and I are individually responsible, but I am saying that our society, as it evolves, not in an evolutionary way, but as it grows and it morphs because of, say, the Industrial Revolution, the technological revolution, dynamics change. The family dynamic, you and I as evangelicals tend to think mom stays home, husband goes off to work. I don't think that's ideal. It used to be in our agrarian culture that we were home together working. We were home together taking care of the kids. And the distribution of duties played itself out based on strengths and weaknesses as dad was a stay-at-home dad and mom was a working mom in the home. So do I get it? So this woman, she works full time, puts the kids in daycare. She's a social media guru. She wants to be an influencer. She's married. She has four children. And she's lamenting that she has to do more with the kids than the husband does because of work demands. And I understand that because I don't think that this is the ideal scenario. So in defense of that young lady, I think we need to identify that. And that can happen it's going to happen in a home because I don't think the home was intended to be, see at six, pop. And then if she has to go to work too, it is going to fall on the mom. Even so, we need to make marriage and making babies something that is an ideal, something that we strive for, even despite disparity of duties, even despite economic struggles, they're worth it. That's what I'm saying. They're worth it. But how's about this next excuse? Concerns about climate change? Are you kidding me? Concerns about climate change? They don't want to make babies?
Or are putting their careers first. But many say they simply don't want kids.
Well, they put their careers first. Yep. That would be, I understand the pressure that our society has put on that. Besides, there's pressure to, you know, eat. You got to live. You got to work. I just don't think that our current structure is one that is actually good for families, which leads to a lot of these young people saying, not going to do it. We're scared of the future. We're frightened. And besides, we want to focus on ourselves. We want to do traveling. I want to work. I want my career to advance. I'm not suggesting that any of those concerns need to be totally obliterated, but what I do think the church needs to start screaming, marriage is awesome, making babies. I was watching a young man at our church and the baby come up to him and just grab his hand, and he just instinctively, you know, put out his finger, and I thought, oh dude, someday you're going to look back at that and go, oh, that was precious. And indeed, it is. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bridegroom,
Christians are waiting for Christ's return, which the book of Revelation describes as the wedding of the Lamb. Christ will come to usher his bride, his church, into eternity with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You don't have to yell at me, Jimmy. I'll do my job in here. This is Wretched Radio. Shouting. He's just always shouting at me. Go ahead. Dial it back. What do you want me to talk about?
Truth Unhindered.
Why didn't you say it that way to me before?
That is how I was.
You were just screaming your head off.
Don't be so sensitive.
Sorry, it's the 21st century. Truth Unhindered. It's our new match campaign. Super excited about this. Got to tell you, this is, I don't know that you'll be as encouraged as I am by this, but we endeavored about 2 years ago to really build the ministry. We always wanted it to be a ministry that could be a legacy that would endure. So we added five, six, I don't even know how many fellows we've added to Fortis Institute, because we want it to be strong. We want to stand firm in a time when ministries are just wobbling and crashing all over the place. And we wanted to build something that would endure. Well, we launched this whole clambake called Fortis Institute, and God is blessing it. We're reaching more people. We're creating way more material than we ever have. And we're giving away more stuff than ever before. But guess what we want to do? We want to give away all of it, all of it. We've historically sold some of our resources because they're big productions. We've sold them because, well, the ministry then, of course, needs that to pay the bills. But we want to give it away. But we've got to replace that revenue. And we're hoping that you'll want to join us in this endeavor so that we can give away. We're going to close the store. We're going to have a sale this summer to really just empty the warehouse of all CDs, DVDs, whatever hard copies we've got. We're just going to give away everything electronically. And that means we can give it away around the globe. And that means, because there isn't a price tag connected, we will be getting into thousands of churches. And I suspect a lot of them churches don't have good resources. In fact, they probably have some real stinkeroos. Would you consider joining us? It's the Truth Unhindered campaign. It's a match campaign. And this, and I'm telling you too, coming up, this university campus initiative that we're embarking on to go to campuses and do big events on campuses that aren't those, you know, trash the kids and then throw it up on the YouTube machine and get a bazillion views. Don't want to do that. We don't want to embarrass kids. I mean, what kind of pleasure would that produce? That you make a kid look dumb because he doesn't know his Bible? Thanks. That's the last thing we want to do. We want to go love these kids, and we want to go show them that the Bible is reliable and they shouldn't deconstruct their faith. And they should use the Bible for their guidebook for life and use the Bible for all of life and godliness, including their emotional issues. So we're going to Kennesaw State. Greg Gifford's going to fly in for it because we're going to do it in conjunction with his book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, to help the kids. We're hoping to do another one. Can't mention the name of the university nearby, because the campus is experiencing a prolific number of suicides. And they're out of cards. It's like, how do we help these young people? So we're hoping to go to campuses. We're going to Oklahoma State in October, I think, somewhere in the time in the fall, because the ministry wants us to talk about deconstruction, or better yet, anti-deconstruction, this pernicious trend that is being led by these internet social media influencers. It's taken a lot of our kids. So we want to go to these campuses. And what I'm trying to say is the Lord appears to be blessing this ministry. And I would like to invite you to join us. We just want to reach more people with the gospel. We want more people to enter into the joy of their master, the joy of their master, to come to the banquet. That's what we want. And if that's your heartbeat, consider right now supporting us. The Truth Unhindered campaign. You can find all the deets. See there, Jimmy? That's hip lingo.
It is.
The deets at fortisinstitute.org/truth. fortisinstitute.org/truth. Jimmy, I think that's actually a dated word. It's my experience that the generations, we are so big into these markers. I don't know if it's always been this way. The Gen X, the Gen Z, the Gen Y, the millennials, the baby boomers. Was it that way, like, in the 1950s and 60s? It seems that lately we just dig these generational divides. I don't know who determined that's how it should be done, what a generation is. Even so, I've noticed that generations know their own lingo. And the lingo of the millennials, not the same as Gen Zers. They've got different words. So for instance, here's one. Jimmy, you're going to have to use your AI machine. Okay. I'm pretty sure the word is please. Not as in, would you please go look on AI why Gen Zs are using the word please? Although if you would please do that, that would be great. Okay. But I think they're using it in a different way. Here's another word. Rather than saying, and I don't think this one is bad, by the way. I get this one. Instead of saying, okay, I got it, or I understand you, you just say heard. Instead of saying received, heard. Well, you know, everything's got to be one word. You got to make everything as brief as possible when you're texting. So heard means I got it. So Jimmy, did you heard me regarding please?
I did.
All right. What does it mean?
So it's not your imagination. It says Gen Z really does seem to use the word please more often, especially in text, emails, and even online requests. But it's not the polite, informal please your grandmother used.
There it is.
Gen Z, you think of the Gen Z version as a dramatic eye roll, like a sigh.
Oh,
and sigh.
Please.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it means.
That's the main reason. They also use it to soften a demand.
Well, that would be please.
Right.
Right. That seems normal.
Self-deprecating begging. Please, I'm literally on my knees. Please.
Well, okay, that's not wildly off.
But yeah, and tone markers in texts.
Tone markers in texts.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that means.
It doesn't really explain
either. I have no idea what that means. I thought it was sort of like Prego. You can just use it for anything. Open the door. Thank you very much. I'm going for a walk. Prego. And that's the Italian like catch-all word. Hmm. Please, for the whippersnappers. They've got their own lingo. Furthermore, they've got their own ideologies. CBS doing a news report on young adults without children who don't want them. They're using statistics from Pew Research.
We are raised to believe that it is our destiny to become parents.
Well, destiny, we're bringing in some people who are now older, who don't, they made a decision long ago to not have children. We're raised to believe it's our destiny. Well, not your destiny, it's your delight. You get to have children. It's a good thing.
Amy Blackstone and her husband Lance decided years ago to be a family of just two. Blackstone, a University of Maine sociology professor.
That explains stuff.
Has published a number of studies on those who call themselves child-free by choice.
Child-free person will say, I valued my relationship with my partner so much.
My relationship with myself so much. Child-free. Wow.
That I didn't want another party changing that relationship.
They don't detract. They enhance it.
A parent will say, the imagined relationship with a child is so important to me that I want that relationship.
The imagined relationship. No, the reality relationship. There is, I don't know that anybody has ever been able to articulate what it means to have a child. I know poems have been written, books have been written. But what my recollection, I remember with our first child, the thing that struck me so much, I mean, I just loved it immediately. I remember they were like, would you like to bathe your child? Yeah, you bet I do. I was like, get me in the game, nurse. Get out of the way. I'll take it from here. Just loved it immediately. But then it just shocked me how this little person never looked up and went, oh, why should I like be living with you? Why do I follow you all over the house? Why do I just get in the van when I'm told? It's amazing. It's not like, okay, we need to sit down and have a talk, child. You belong to us and you're going to have to follow us everywhere we go. No, they just do it. And I was just like, whoa, this is not imagined. This is amazing.
Was it financial? Was it not finding the right lifestyle?
Their lifestyle. I don't know if you could hear that. It was a little bit muddy. Why did you decide to not do it? They're having a little gathering here in a coffee shop. Bad idea, producer. The volume and the sound is awful. We just didn't want the burden of children.
When Tiana's friends began having kids, she started organizing occasional get-togethers for others who want to be child-free.
It just seems like every time you turn on the news, something bad's happening.
Everything's bad is happening on the news. This is a scared generation. These politicians have frightened children out of having children.
Not the world I want to raise a kid in.
Don't want to raise a kid in this world. Let me tell you, you think this world is bad? Ha ha, you should have been around when the Visigoths sacked Rome.
I think we'll show climate change.
That's just painful to listen to. Church, it's time that we start shouting that marriage, it's delightful. Sure, it's hard, but isn't any good thing? You should listen to Brad Bigney's podcast, Thrive, if you're struggling, by the way. And by the way, listen to it. It'll like get you high on marriage, because we should be high on marriage and we should be high on making babies. Because as a human being, is there anything more profound and more delightful? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.